Blog Talk Radio.
The Second Epistle General of Peter. 2 Peter 1.
Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory, when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn, and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost.
Amen, amen, and amen. Welcome. This is Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Paul. I'd like to welcome to the program tonight. Today, it's Saturday, October 27, 2018. We pray all is well with you and your family, and we thank you again for joining us. For those of you who are listening at www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Paul, and if you called in at 646-668-2636, we thank you for taking time out of your schedule this morning and joining us for a conversation. And we pray that something be said today, here today, that be encouraging to you and strengthen you. Amen? Amen. Well, this morning we are here with Elder Mark Gaines from New Vision for Life Kingdom Builders, and we're going to talk a little bit about submission as a man of Christ. You know, this past week we had our Man Up event for 2018, our first one for 2018, and we plan to come back in next year, in 2019, in March, so hold on to that date. The next couple of weeks, we will have a locked in a date, and we will be sharing that on the program. Good morning, Elder Mark. How are you, sir? Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Good morning. I am blessed. I am blessed as always. It's a pleasure as always to be on with you. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing wonderful. Everything is well. Everything is well. So, again, brother, thank you for taking time out and joining us and being part of the discussion here. And, again, for all those who have called in at 646-668-2636, if you press 1 on your keypad, we're welcome to have you come in, join us, and be part of the conversation, share your insights and your wisdom. Again, well, today, Elder, we're going to talk a little bit about the event. First, let me give you an unbiased opinion, How did you like the event? How did you think it turned out? And just share with the audience some of the things. Well, how about this? Some of the pros and cons, and how you thought the event went, and any feedback you got from the brothers who that you are in fellowship with. How'd they like it?
Amen. I have always enjoyed the events, and I think they have been an awesome time for men. One of the pros I would definitely say is, because we don't utilize a church venue, a lot of the walls come down for men who always feel they don't want to come to another prayer breakfast. As one of the brothers there, Brother Jonathan, always says, he doesn't want to just come to a prayer breakfast. He wants to come where men can talk. And I think that was truly a blessing. It was good to see some of the millennial young men there as well. And their feedback they received, I saw some of them running to the table and grabbing books. I think everybody left out with their toolbox considerably filled up with new tools and new information. And, of course, we refer to all the information that you blessed us with from the gathering stuff you got from the different books and everything that you gave us. I've got information on marriage, on the man in the mirror, the family God uses, so many things. And that now I've got to read more, start studying some more things that I can be a blessing in my household. But, yes, sir, it was honestly a wonderful experience to fellowship, to just openly talk, and to really get fed and not feel like we were just being, and I'm going to have to go to my thing, not being beat over the head with the Bible, but our discussion allowed us to talk about life and how it's applicable, how Scripture is applicable to life. Some of the young men did say they wish they would have been able to engage a little more on daily life because they don't have a real understanding of the Bible. So it was, you know, that was one of the comments. But I think everyone there, everyone that I spoke to was truly blessed, and I know I'm looking forward to the next. And everyone that was there also said they're looking forward to the next one. Even some that said they wish there was more things done, they're still looking forward to another opportunity to come out and bring more people with it next time. So we'll just see it growing. And to those online, if you missed it this time, I pray that you'll be there in March. Back to you, sir.
Amen, sir. Amen. Amen. I appreciate that feedback, brother. And I thank God that it was touched. I mean, that's what we do our Man Up events about. It's about to encourage the brothers. It's about to stir up this Holy Spirit within them and then also be able to touch on some of the things that we're dealing with as men of God, our everyday lives, and just the application of His Word and then building those relationships and connecting. So I thank you for that, and I thank you for those young brothers. And you see those young brothers, tell them I appreciate them coming. And next time, yes, we will give an opportunity. We'll make it an opportunity that they can ask and engage and maybe get some answers to the questions they may have that help them get over the hump and get over it and be able to understand God better and His purpose for their lives. Amen. So that is our prayer and that is our vision for the Man Up events. Amen. So anyway, so today we're going to talk on some of the subjects. As we talked, it was strength and submission. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to bounce some stuff off you and share some of the insights and some of the notes. I have some of my notes here that I took at the event, and I know Elder has some stuff. And we're just going to share and give you and help someone who's listening. You couldn't make the event. And, again, possibly you can make the next one in March 2019 and just share some of what we picked up on and what we were able to feed each other and speak on. Because we had a lot of wisdom there. We had one of the young brothers. I specifically remember one of the young brothers mentioned that, you know, you can't have submission unless you have trust. And that went across the board, because even we talked about marriage and relationships. If there's no trust, there can't be any submission. And I think that was something that was really brought out in that conversation. So let me start there, brother. What do you think? That importance of trust and submission, how the two things go together. What do you say, sir?
I definitely agree. And when the young man brought that up, I remember exactly who it was. But when he made that statement, that really did kick in a big conversation. And one of the comments that I had on that was, you know, as men, as people, sometimes we feel let down by God because we've prayed and we didn't get the answer we wanted to see. Things didn't go the way we thought they should, or, you know, a very good friend of mine, he believed that he was truly a believer at a younger age, liked going to church, but his mom got sick. And when his mom got sick, she was diagnosed with cancer. And his prayer was, God, if you're real, you'll save my mother. His mother died, and he proclaimed himself to be an atheist. And I think a lot of us have situations, maybe not to that intensity, but we go through things, and then we no longer trust God, so we don't submit to God. And, you know, in our discussions that we had previously, we had been, you know, in this last month on the show here, in Issues Christian Man Talk, talking about submission, I think that's one of the things that we didn't really pick up on was the lack of trust in God because of something you've been through or something that you didn't get when you thought it should have happened, or it didn't happen the way you thought it should happen. And my answer to that, my response to that is that God's plan, we may not understand, but all things are working out for our good. And how do you say, well, my mom passing or a person's mother passing or a parent passing is for our good? Sometimes that growth is needed. Sometimes we have to let go of the people because they don't belong to us. They belong to God, and she served her purpose for God, and God called her home for her reward. So we have to let go of some of the things that we believe should have happened. You know, we pray about, Lord God, help me get this job or help me get this. And then we later on in life, we find out that that thing wasn't the best thing for us. It wasn't what we thought it would have been. But we begin to not trust God because we believe our prayers weren't answered, or that when we prayed, he didn't listen. So if God wasn't there and we can't trust God, then why should I submit to God? We've got to get to the point where we see that everything that's happening is happening for a reason, and God has our best interest at heart. It's just sometimes our flesh isn't gratified, and when our flesh isn't gratified, then we feel let down. Thus, we feel we cannot trust, and then it's hard to submit. Back to you, sir.
Amen, amen. You're right. I remember that you shared that. And also, some of the things that we talked about trust was also in our relationships. You know, we talk about being submissive and even in our relationships within the body of Christ, that, you know, can we trust the people? Can we trust those in leadership? Can we trust our fellow brothers and sisters in the church as we build relationships? You know, because even in that submission, it's coming under that authority and accountability. And I think that's important. And it also, you know, I think trust, it says a lot when we say trust, because as men, we need to trust. You know, sometimes I like to use the metaphors of sports, but I don't like to use it everywhere because everyone doesn't have that same kind of passion in sports. But when you're on a team, when you're part of a team, or when you're part of something, or I won't use it. How about that? How about our jobs, our employment, the people we work for, we work with? Do we have a trust? Do we have a trust for the company we work for, that they're going to pay us, that they haven't used our retirement plans and stolen? You know, there's a lot of trust out there, and then we're submitted unto those things that we trust. We trust the job. We trust our coworkers. We there's a lot of trust out there that makes us take a position of submission and being able to be under the authority of something. But I think we cannot pass by, because if I don't trust you, there's a lot of things I'm not going to do, and I'm always going to be protecting myself. I'm always going to be looking over my shoulder. And then sometimes, even when we don't trust God or we don't trust others, we can't really get done and fulfill the purpose and the plan that we have in front of us, or the assignment. How about that? The assignment that we have, even in our temporal jobs or even in the body of Christ or where God created us. If we're not in an environment of trust, how can we fulfill the call on God in our lives? If we look at Scripture, we look at the Old Testament, we look at the leaders there, we look at David and Moses and Joshua, New Testament, we look at the apostles. If you could not trust God, if you could not trust those he was with, with Silas and Barnabas, those men that he partnered with, could he trust them? Could he trust that they were men of God and they were men of character and integrity? So then we have to look at ourselves sometimes and understand, can people trust us? that we have a lifestyle and character that is consistent, that we live out what we say, who we are, and that we live in it out in a way that people can see us in consistency. And in our marriages, are we consistent? Are we consistent in the things we do when we mentoring and raising our children? You know, even when raising young children, or even in our relationship with our older adult children, you know, how do they see us? Can they trust us and what we say and how we're living? And even when the things don't go right, do they trust that we're going to do it godly and the right thing, or are we going to come under, you know, our flesh and respond in a way that's not pleasing or at glorifying God? So those are some of the things that we talked out on. I like that because, like you said, when that brother said that started the whole conversation. Because without trust, I don't think you can have any kind of submission, because we have the expectation. I take it to marriage that, you know, if let me say this, for any brother out there who's married or in a relationship thinking about getting married, if a woman doesn't trust and respect you, your relationship is doomed, because she's never going to fully submit to you, because you're not fully submitted to anything else in your life. You're inconsistent. And that's when we talk about submission in the man's life, we have to be able to see that people around us and our wives and our wives, our baby mamas, our girlfriends, whatever title you want to give, you know, if they don't trust and respect us, it's going to be problems. But you're going to, we as men, we're going to respond differently, because we're going to see everything that she says and does to us and take it in a way, and we're going to move out of our emotions because she's doing stuff because she can't trust you. Simple as that. I say that to any brother out there, that if the woman in your life was depending on you, cannot trust or respect you, you have a problem, and you have to get into a place where you're building that relationship to try and mend it. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. See, this is just like the man up meeting, bro. That one thing came out, and everyone has feedback to that. Amen. Because that trust, that's very important when we're talking about submission. But as even here today, we want to move on, because I did want to touch on a lot of things that we talked about there and get your insight on them. And when we talk about what does it really mean to be submissive to God? You know, what does that mean to you, sir? I mean, how do we, from your experience and even from what we talked about at the gathering, you know, submission, what does it mean to be submissive to God? How do you see it, sir?
Well, I'm going to go to one of the bullet points that we actually discussed, and it was removal of fleshly desires. And that really, when I looked around and I saw some, you know, you kind of look around and you see some eyes kind of look up and the eyebrow kind of poke up, like, you know, that question phase, like, what do you mean? And I realized that sometimes we don't understand, what we don't sometimes understand is that you can't abide in God and still abide in your flesh. The two just don't match up. You can't live your life succumbing to every temptation and desire of the flesh and then serve God. In serving God every day, your flesh should be decreasing. Your fleshly the flesh control over your decision making should change, so that your spirit man is growing and getting stronger and stronger, so you have a stronger relationship with God, being submissive to God and Him being your resource and your source for everything that you ever need, desire, or want. But how do you remove the fleshly desires? You have to connect to a source. You have to connect to something. And that took us into, why do you need to go to church? Because you need to be around like-minded people that encourage you to leave alone those old fleshly desires. I think one of the gentlemen was talking about drinking. If you're trying to stop drinking, and let's just go for those that are listening, for some, you've been in AA. One of the things they say is you can't go back and hang around the same people you were with that are drinking, and you're trying to stop drinking. Same thing with drugs. If you're trying to get away from drugs, you can't go back and sit next to somebody in the crack house. It just doesn't work out. You got to remove those fleshly desires so you can submit to a different authority, to a different will. But if all you do is appease the flesh desires, then you'll fall for those temptations. You'll fall into those temptations, and those are the things that begin to pull you and draw you away from a connection with God. So you can't be submissive. You can't submit to God if you're going to live and submit to your flesh. Back to you, sir.
Amen, sir. And that submission, it comes with, you know, it's really about being, having Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. You know, we say that a lot in the church, and it becomes a cliche, and Jesus is my Lord. But when we really look at what it means for him to be our Lord, we're abiding in him. We're submitting to his will. It's not our will anymore. And you know, there's a deeper study for that. But I just want you to say, when we say these things and we live out the word, and the word is not just a cliche, you know, we have to be able to say that because Christ is really our Lord, you know, and are we going to obey his commandments, his precepts, everything? Are we going to obey Scripture? Are we going to apply Scripture? Are we going to shape and mold our life to Scripture and to his word, the full word? And again, this is not something we can do just by our own good intentions and will. It's something we have to surrender to God and do what he wants for us. I mean, you know, a lot of people say they want to find out what God's will is for their life. And I've learned over the years for myself personally, it's his word. Do you know the word? Do you study the word? Do you meditate on the word? If you do that, you will know his will for your life, you know, and how he wants you to be as a husband, as a father, as a son. And this is where we have to be as men. We have to come into submission to something. And his word, I think, is some of it. And our fleshy desires, because, again, not all of us were raised in the church. Not all of us had good examples in our past life. You know, that's the other thing we got to understand, too. Everyone wasn't raised knowing right from wrong. Everybody was raised by what was right and before them, what everybody else was doing and how they were raised and what their norm was. And everybody's norm didn't line up with Scripture. It's just as simple as that. So when we say that he's our Lord and we are submitted unto God, then we have to change. That's what being saved, born again means, being renewed, regenerated, having a new mind, having a new mindset. You know, but that's where the struggle is, because our flesh wants to do what we used to do, what we've always done, and what we feel comfortable doing. Because, again, you know, walking a Christian life and living a life in obedience to Christ and his word is not an easy thing. And some of it is we're dealing with nature, we're dealing with our mindsets, and that's why it takes the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit that's going to change us. Because anybody I know who has come to faith, it's depending. It's being submissive to the Holy Spirit that's within us. Because even when we come to salvation, the Holy Spirit living within us and dwelling in us is what's going to keep us. It's not going to be us just acting right and being right and performing. Because, again, salvation is not about how we act. Before salvation is about because we're changed from the inside. And that's where we have to be able to struggle. Because every man struggles. It doesn't matter how long he's been saved, how long he's been in the church, how long he's called himself a Christian. He has struggles every day, issues that we haven't really dealt with. Some of it is suppressed, and some of it we are delivered from. But then we always have to be on guard, because those are the things the enemy's going to use to get us off track and to move us to a place where he can kill us. I'll just say it like that. I'll keep it real here at Issues Christian Men's Talk. The enemy's trying to kill us. He's trying to kill our faith walk, our reputation. He's trying to kill our character. As you can say, you know, we all know, for the brothers that are listening, you know people who are in the body of Christ who are not in the body of Christ right now. So you ask, you know, sometimes we ask ourselves the big question, were they ever really saved? Because they were there, now they're not. But they're there and they're doing these things. Or they're there and they've done this thing. You know, so were they really saved, or are they still in their process of growth? But yet, their character now, the enemy has successfully assassinated their character. So they have to come back. And that's saying for any brother out there who's listening, even if you've done wrong, made mistakes, bad choices, and you're dealing with the consequences of bad choices, this doesn't mean that God still doesn't have a plan for you. Because redemption is there. Repentance is available. You know, again, we look at Paul, we look at David, we look at Peter, we look at the men of the Bible. They were just men. But even in the midst, you know, It was, remember, there was only one guy who did not repent, and it was Judas, and he was so filled with guilt, he went out there and killed himself. So don't go out there and kill yourself over one mistake. Repent and come back unto God, and he'll forgive you, and he will fix you and help you get it right. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Go ahead, sir.
You said something that we've got to pick up on, and it was in a single word. You said, are we performing? And it made me think, like, how many times are we really just acting like we're doing something that we're really not? You know, a lot of us, and I want to be transparent about, and I think that's why we go into, and I know this is what, you know, how the man up thing went. We just started on a whole nother tangent. I really think it's a discussion to have at maybe at a later time, but we have to really understand that we sometimes put ourselves in a position that we try to act like we live a life that we're really not living. And I'm talking about for the church and the unchurched. So many times, I think that's why the label of hypocrite comes out, because somebody knows your real life. And I'm talking to the church folk right now. Somebody knows your real life outside of Sunday. And that's where I challenge you. Are you really submitted to God? If your life outside of Sunday is different, if the clothes you put on Sunday don't match your lifestyle the rest of the week. And when I say clothes, I mean the attitude, the way you are, your mannerisms, how you carry yourself, how you conduct yourself, the way you dress up. If it doesn't match the rest of the week, something is totally wrong. You need to reexamine your level of submission, your level of commitment, and your faith, because you're not serving God in the right way if you live one way on Sunday and another way Monday through Saturday. And I think somebody said exactly those terms, living one way Sunday and living a different way Monday through Saturday. But that's something, I'm sorry, when you said performing, it just made me think of that, that we really have to discuss that and talk about that. Because that's one of the problems why people have a problem submitting to the church, is because they know somebody that's the one that's actually inviting them to the church, or they get to the church and they see somebody that they know lives life wrong, but they're the very one in the front of the church, screaming, snotting, and everything about how good God is and God has saved them, screaming their hallelujahs. But before they can leave the parking lot, they're already cussing out their wife. But that's another discussion. Back to you, sir.
Yes, sir. But that, you're right, and that's the whole point. You know, what are we being light? Are we being salt and light? Are we living lives that glorifies God and edifies the body? Because even within the body of Christ, there's the saints there, there's the mature and the immature saints. And when we are inconsistent, how many young saints are we? How many young people? Not only young people as an age, I mean young people in the faith who see our lives, see us do things that will throw them off course, that make them believe that, oh, man, you've been saved 25, 15, 5 years, and you're doing this stuff. Or you carry yourself a certain way, or you say certain things, you know, and how is that affecting their faith and their growth and development? You know, are we setting atmospheres around people, around other young men, other men of the faith? Again, I'm not talking age. I'm talking faith in Scripture, faith in being new babes in Christ. That's the term I'm looking for. Are we being living examples for them to know that God can, know that God will, and God can change? But are we acting just like they acting now, being not knowing? You know, are we quoting Scripture, but we're not living out Scripture? And like you said, the hypocrite is a terrible. The hypocrite is what the enemy uses, and I think is the most effective tool the enemy uses in the body of Christ to discourage folk and to keep folk away from hearing and distracting folk. I won't say keeping folk from hearing the gospel, but distracting folk from understanding and accepting the gospel, because they're looking at lives of people who confess and love God and confess to be Christians, and they see their lives and the choices they're making and how they're living, and that keeps them from saying, well, God can't be real because this brother's doing such and such and such and such, you know. And we have to remember that God is going to, there's people that only do that we're going to reach, that God's going to use us to reach, and what kind of example are we setting and how we carry ourselves. So I just want to, again, here at Issues Christian Men's Talk, we want to encourage you. We don't want to stand on a pedestal and think that we got it all together, because we have to watch ourselves. I know I have to watch the things I say and do and how I respond to people. And even in the midst of fellowship and having fun, there's some things we have to be careful what we say and how we say things. Because even in the midst of joking and a fellowship, stuff may come out to and someone will hear it. And we all know people have a preconceived notion of what a Christian should be, how they should act and walk and talk. So sometimes, that standard they have is so high for us, but they're not living by that standard. But they use our standard. They use our imperfection and human frailties as a reason why they don't want to believe God and don't want to be part of the body of Christ, whatever. Sometimes you can't do nothing about that. But again, if we're sincere and our love of God and our faithfulness and our walk, there'll be opportunities, to be able to share. But we have to be conscientious of what we're doing. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Amen. You're listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. We're here with Elder Mark from New Vision from Alive Kingdom Builders, with the pastors Apostle Etta Banks, and my home church is Jesus Lives Ministry. My pastor is Pastor George Shaw. And today we're talking about submission in the life of a man. We're going over some of our talking points here from the previous Man Up event that we had last week, strength and submission. And we're just bouncing some of the talking points off, or some of the things that were covered and discussed, and hoping to encourage you today on what we're talking about. Real quick, we're going to move on to our next thing, because there's something that also was talked about last week. There was a difference between submission and obedience. Is there really a difference, or are they the same thing, or is it two separate things? Can I be obedient and not be submitted to something? Or can I be submitted to something, but yet do you still be disobedient? What do you say, sir? What do you remember about the discussion there, and what did you get out of it, and what's your insights?
Well, the biggest thing that I drew from it, the brother broke it down very definitively of what the two are, and it just by definition, you can't be submissive without being obedient. And because, submission is, accepting or yielding to an authority. Being obedient is being compliant with order or the request or the laws of that authority. That's just like the police or any authority, your boss. We all talk about, once again, I'm not submitting to anybody. One of the brothers said it, and he said it as a joke, but it started conversation. He said, man, I'm not being submissive because that's slavery. But he said it jokingly to start conversation, but that's really how a lot of us feel. We don't submit because it's slavery, so then we try to find every way to be disobedient. So if we're trying to find a way to be disobedient so that we're not actually being submissive, then that tells you on the opposite end, you can't be submissive. You can't be submissive without being obedient. Like we'll do stuff in our jobs or with the police. You're saying we speed, and it's like, I'm not listening to the police. I'm not listening to this. I'm not doing that. So we do stuff we do disobedient things because we don't want to submit, because we want to challenge authority. So if we want to be submissive, then we have to be obedient to the authority and to the law. So if we want to submit to God, then we have to be obedient to his commandments. You can't say that you're submitting and that you are all about God and love God if you're breaking all of his laws. Understand, we all fall short. None of us are perfect. I know I'm not. When we talk about the clothes we put on and, the outfits we wear, not as far as our physical clothing, but dressed in that, you talk about the hypocrite of the church or things like that. I'm not that three-piece suit person. I'm not at that place because I know full well I've still got some dirty stuff I'm still working on. I'm always going to have something to work on. You're never completed. The day you're completed is the day you reach judgment. But back to the submission, I'm sorry I started to go off. You cannot submit to something without being obedient to it. There's no way to submit to anything if you're not obedient to the laws of that authority. Back to you, sir.
Amen, sir. Yeah, thank you for that, because that's true. Unless you have a framework, unless you have boundaries, and you submit and you're staying within the boundaries and within a direction and guidance, again, when we come out of the spiritual, you're right. We talk about speed limits. We talk about your jobs. Again, I like to take it back to the temporal. You know what time you're supposed to be to work, and if you're not there, you're late. As simple as that. You know, if you get off work a certain time and you leave early without permission, slide out, slip out, don't punch out, you're being disobedient. You're not submitting to giving the job 8 hours. Your character will tell you who you are. If these are the things you do on a normal, these are the things that you do because you can. Every man knows what his boundaries are and when he tries to get around them. And that's where we have to look at ourselves, because it's something that we can't really, no one on the outside knows. We know ourselves and we know our sins better than anybody else could. Because if I can see your sins, it's been out there a long time. Just because I'm seeing it now all of a sudden, you've got away with more. You got, put it this way. You got, by the time people find out what you've been doing, you've been getting away with it for a lot longer than God has seen you. Okay? So God just made the opportunity for it to be exposed to others to maybe pull you back. But again, if you're not submitted unto no one, if you're not held accountable to no one, no one can never tell you nothing. That was something we also brought up in the conversation. If you're not submitted to a place where nobody can never tell you nothing, correct you, and you're going to take that correction where people are trying to help you, or you're going to be defensive about being corrected and held accountable, then you can't say, you don't understand what it means to be submitted and be in submission and be obedient again. And that's what we talked about also, some of the things we need to have men in our lives. One of the things we touched about, you need to have three men in your life who can hold you, that you can go to, that's going to hold you accountable, that will pull you up and not afraid that your relationship is in that point. And that's the other thing about obedience and submission, along with trust, is having these kind of relationships and building these kind of relationships. You know, we have superficial relationships and we have relationships that we know we're good to hang out, but we really don't talk about no real stuff. We just got our guys that we hang out with, have a good time with, do whatever. We might not be rolling the strip bars and hanging out in bars, drinking all night, strip clubs and whatever other stuff we used to do, you know, but we still have brothers that we have superficial relationships with. You know, this is my church friend. You know, when we go out, we're not going to go. We're going to go to Wild Wings, but we ain't going to get no drinks, no beer. We're going to drink soda and tea and have some wings and watch a game. And then we have our other friends, we go to Buffalo Wild Wings, and we get a pitcher of beer apiece. I'm just saying. But if you're living in that lane, that's fine. But just recognize the lane you're in. Amen? But and that's what it's about. I mean, that's really what it's about. Are we living lives, and who are the people in our lives? And are we submitted, and are we going to be, you know, obedient to the things that God has called? Again, it's the word of God. Because sometimes, you know, you can get caught up with folk who got a whole lot of stuff. They want to think that you're how you should be and what you should be doing. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about men of God who know the word of God, and they're going to hold you accountable to the word of God. Because, again, as men of God, we're confessed Christians. So you confess to be something. Now I'm just going to hold you to the standard you confess to be, just like we used to do. Brother, you confess to be something. I'm just holding you to that standard. I'm not trying to make you do nothing. I'm not going to put it this way. I like to also share this a lot when we talk to folk, when we talk to other brothers. You can't hold a man to a standard that he doesn't confess anything. You can't hold a non-Christian, non-believing person to the standard of Christ, because that's not who they are. So when we evangelize, we want to get people to understand who Christ is and have them confess and accept him as their Savior and Lord. And then, you know, the relationship changes, because now I hold you accountable to something you confess. If you never confess and know Christ and believe in Christ and believe the word of God, I can't hold you to that, because I hold you to the standard of something you don't believe in, which is fine. But everything else in our lives, you know, we're held to a standard. I always like to take it back to the temporal. You know, with our jobs, you're in school, you're a student at college, high school, whatever. Now you have to be a student there, to say you're a student of whatever, or you're this or that. Now there's a standard. If you're an electrician, if you're a carpenter, if you're a licensed whatever, plumber, now there's a standard in your life, and now you're held to that standard. Same thing in the body of Christ, the same thing as a Christian man. There's a standard you're going to be held to, and there's those around you who are going to hold you to the standard. Amen? So, you know, when we talk about submission and obedience, is it the same thing? Is there a difference? I think they're like brothers. They run together. They run parallel. You know, in our lives, we have to be in that place that we understand that God has called us to be a certain man of God and be in that place and be held to a standard. Amen. Well, Elder, I want to move on to one more. We're getting close here, and I just want to touch on these things again. We're just going over some of the talking points from the Man Up event that was held last weekend on the 20th of October, 2018, Strength and Submission, and me and myself, Deacon Thomas Farr and Elder Mark Gaines, we're just touching on some of the talking points and bringing back some of the recollections and some of the conversations that were had there in the room with some of the brothers. And hopefully, again, those brothers that were there, again, I want to just thank you. You're listening, you called in, and you're listening this week, and I thank you for coming out, and I pray that you were blessed by it. And again, if you want to call in and share some of your insights or some of your recollections or something that you might have in the last week that came to you because of the teaching, because of the conversation, you can call in. If you called in, it's 646-668-2636. Just press 1 on your keypad. We can bring you in, and you can share. Elder, one of the other things we talked about, some of the challenges that we all have as men, as husbands and fathers, and we talked some of the things we talked about with single guys too. Sometimes we have the same struggles. Single guys don't think married guys have the same kind of struggles. But what are some of the challenges and some of the hindrances you remember we talked about and touched upon that keep us from submitting to God, and some of the things that we figured out that the strategies we had to come up with to try and overcome them? What do you say, sir?
Well, I remember one of the major things we talked about was selfishness, because in that selfishness, we're thinking about our own will. We're satisfying our own will, and that truly is selfish when our will supersedes that of our submitting to God or our even dealing with our family. Like, for instance, you brought up going to the strip club and or going to the bar, when those things become more important than taking care of your home, taking care of your children, taking care of your wife, or if you're in a relationship, when those things become more important than you being there with the woman you say you love, when those things, like hanging out, when those things become more important than building your relationship, then in, you know, uplifting your marriage, taking care of your wife, taking care of your home, when those things become more important, we're being selfish. And, you know, for all of us, the church, the married man, the unchurched, the single man, we've all dealt with lust, alcohol, drugs, money. One of the guys there was talking about how he, you know, sitting at the traffic light and he see those, you know, those short shorts walking across the street. And it's like, oh, my goodness. And as a married man, you looking like, oh, my goodness, who is this? And the enemy will have every thought and everything you could think of pop into your head about what you could do to that person in them shorts. And, you know, we all deal with that. We all still, some of us, God bless you, have never touched a drink of alcohol in your life. Others, every day, still deal with, I've got to fight to not drink. Some drugs, some people, money was the major thing. Like, it was money above all things. If you could be carrying an old lady across the street, and if it was a dollar that you needed, you would drop her on her head to get it. That's just how some of us are, but that's a selfishness that becomes a hindrance from us submitting. And, you know, then we got that excuse thing, like, oh, well, I can't really submit right now because I've got to take care of this, or I've got to do this, or I don't like the way that worked out, so I'm really not going to agree with that. I'm not going to, not fully knowing that you should, but because you don't want to let go of who you think you're supposed to be or who you are, you don't want to change. That's what a lot of us think, that because we're submitted, when we submit to God, that we're no longer going to have fun. We're no longer going to enjoy life. We're going to be the stuffed shirt, three-piece suit-wearing Bible thumper that speaks holier than thou, that with the thistles and the thous and the dust, and never has a laugh, never enjoys a game, never goes anywhere, but sits in the church, reads the Bible, goes home, prays, and goes to sleep. So we make up the excuses that I'm not ready for that. I can't deal with life like that. I can't give up who I am. Or sometimes the things that stop us from submitting is the people we're around. We're so caught up in the mess that people around us are dealing with that it doesn't allow us to change our own lives. It doesn't allow us to look at life from a different way. It doesn't allow us to see a new perspective. We're stuck in a rut because of the people we're surrounded by. The people that we're surrounded by sometimes are actually the rut. That's what's keeping us stuck in that place where we are, because the people with the people closest to us, the significant people in our lives, aren't willing to move, don't want to change, don't want to do anything different, and we're sitting right there in the midst of all their mess, along with our mess, and all we can do is see that one channel and go no place else. And then peer pressure, when you tell somebody you change in life, they look at you like you just put added six heads to your body. What you mean you gonna change? Why? What you need to change? What's wrong with your life? Well, I want something different. I want to get away from drugs. I want to get away. Why you need to get away? It ain't hurting you. It ain't doing nothing to you. All of those things that are challenges that hinder us from submitting to God, from changing our lives. The selfishness, the excuses, fear, you know, those around us that are just stuck where they want to be. And once again, that ties right into peer pressure. The people around you don't want you to change because they don't want to change, so you don't change. Back to you, sir.
Amen, sir. And I think that's a lot of it. You know, I want to go back to peer pressure because sometimes we use peer pressure and we want to put it on young people. We want to put it on high school kids and teenagers. But we have full-grown men who succumb to peer pressure all the time, you know, because we try to be something that we're not. We call ourselves trying to get along. You know, we get to a danger point where we think we need to be around sinners to be able to minister to sinners, or we want to show ourselves friendly. You know, we take scripture as cliches and take it out of context. I show myself friendly first to the body of Christ, to confess believers. Because one of the things we have to remember, you know, there's positive peer pressure. We need to be part of and connected to people in the faith to encourage one another. You know, and I think that's when we talk about peer pressure. We need that peer pressure can be a positive thing. Because to me, when I hear peer pressure, I hear accountability. There's someone who's going to strengthen and encourage me. Just like there's someone who wants to pull you down that the enemy's going to use to encourage you, going to call you the church boy, call you whatever, you know, that's something now. But even for us older, you know, people are going to say they got religion. You know, they're going to say you could even, because they knew you before, and now all of a sudden you got religion for whatever reason, because you got locked up, because you got caught, because you got sick, because of whatever. That is not really the point. But the point is that now that you come to the faith and you're living a life differently, they're going to understand, you know, there's a reason why you did it. Because, again, you know, a lot of us have a testimony that that God had to break us down and that we had these traumatic experiences in our conversion. But not everyone has. Some people just came to faith because they got tired of doing what they were doing and seeing there was no way out. They didn't lose a job. They didn't lose their family. They didn't get sick. But they just realized that the stuff they were doing, they were getting nowhere with it. And the knowledge of God came to them in a revelation, because someone preached the gospel to them. And that's what we also, as men of God, we have to understand, that God created us and saved us for a reason, that we would share the gospel with someone. that we have to be on point and on top. But that peer pressure is evangelizing, I'm sorry. And then we have to take that into account. Who are we sharing the gospel with? Who are we telling about Jesus Christ? You know, what are we doing? It's not the pastor's job and the elders and the missionary and the evangelist. It's us, individuals, are called to share the gospel and are we fulfilling that purpose. You know, one of the things that I've learned and I always share is that God saved us, that there's only one person that's going to hear the gospel and only going to hear it from us. They're not going to hear it from my pastor. They're not going to hear it from a TV televangelist or whatever. Or the guy standing on the corner with a bullhorn and signed and walk up and down the block. It's us engaging, building a relationship and be able to tell someone about Christ that's going to save them. They're going to hear the gospel from us. But are we prepared and are we in a place and are we ready to be able to share that gospel message with someone? Amen. Thank you. So, brothers, for those who have been listening, I pray that you're encouraged by the conversation we had today, you know, because we just wanted to share what was going on at the Man Up, some of the insights. We're going to continue next couple of programs and just touch over it. We're going to have some of the other brothers who were there at the event and come in and share their insights and upcoming shows and encourage you, again, to continue to press, to be the man that God has called you to be the husband and the father and the son, and be able to be the leader in your home, in the community, and in the church. Amen. Elder, I'm going to give you, you're going to get the closing, get to close us out, the closing statement, and then pray us out. And again, brother, I appreciate you coming in Saturday morning and sharing with us and being part of the program. We're going to continue to press. We got a lot of stuff coming up. For those who are listening to us regularly, we are live every Saturday morning at 9 a.m., Mondays at 8 p.m., and Thursdays at 8 p.m., We have a lot of things coming up for 2019, and we're going to close out this year with a lot of special guests and programs. So I encourage you to keep on listening. You can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr. Follow us there in the site. Follow us on Facebook at Issues Christian Men's Talk and at Twitter at Men Issues Men's Talk on Twitter. And you can follow us there, get updates, devotionals, and contact and reach out to us. Amen. And Elder, you can give us a closing statement and close out in prayer, and God bless you, sir.
God bless you as well, sir. And to those on the line listening, we appreciate you. As always, we say that this is encouragement, not condemnation. We are all growing, so I pray that anything that we discuss today will just minister to you and draw those that weren't on the line. Someone else will invite somebody else to talk a little more and discuss as we're all trying to man up. Looking forward again to the Man Up coming up on March. In March, more dates will be forthcoming. And I just pray that you all receive, that all the men receive. For the women listening, get your husbands, your boyfriends, brothers, fathers, get them on the line so we can all talk, because we're here to encourage. Iron truly does sharpen iron. Father God, we honor you and bless you, Lord God. We thank you for another opportunity, Lord God, to fellowship, Lord God, to just build and be encouraged as we learn more about you and thus of ourselves. Consider us as your servants, Lord God, your willing disciples and evangelists. Use us as conduits to share out the blessings that you continue to pour upon us in the abundance that is you and you alone. We honor you this day and every day and pray to the name of your Son, your precious and our precious and awesome Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.